Welcome to Let's Talk Socials, the podcast for entrepreneurs who want to stand out on social media and be seen as the experts that they really are. The latest updates and trends from the social media space, presented by me, your social media strategist and coach. Now, let's get started. Let's Talk Socials. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Socials. I am very excited to introduce you to Adria from Grand Creative, who is primarily a website designer, but in her own words, has the superpower of looking at her clients' digital marketing in a holistic way. And that is exactly what we will be talking about in today's episode. So without further ado, let's dive right in. Hello, Adria. Welcome to the Let's Talk Socials podcast. I'm really excited to have you on. So thank you so much for taking the time today. Let us start with you telling us a little bit more about your digital marketing background and how you came to run your own business.
Hey, thanks for having me off. So I was working in marketing. Well, I've been working in marketing since I was 17, give or take. And I returned to New Zealand in 2016 after being the marketing manager for a hospitality business over there. And when I came back to New Zealand, I couldn't see kind of any opportunities for myself in the marketing space in the area that I live in. So I was just like, well, if I can't find a job, then I'll make a job. So, and I also noticed like there was a real need for digital marketing because it seemed like I'm from small town New Zealand, Whakatane. And yeah, just a little bit, I guess, behind the times in terms of digital marketing in this area. So I was just like, well, I'll bring some of my expertise that I have acquired over the course of my career and start something for myself.
I have a very similar backstory because when we moved to New Zealand, I was also like, I could start looking for a full-time job, but I don't really see anything that sparks my interest. So I was like, you know, I'm just gonna continue doing this self-employed thing.
Yeah, just do our own thing because, yeah, if the world won't give us the opportunities, we've got to go out and find them, right?
Yeah, exactly. And even better if you then fill a need that you see in your area and I would say in the world in general because the amount of not so great digital marketing I see every day out in the world is still a bit too high for my taste.
Oh, absolutely. And I guess it's kind of, as a woman, we've got that nurturing, like want to help people background. And then, yeah, when you can see businesses out there doing it a bit too tougher than they need to anyway, you're just like, let me help you. Please let me help you. And please pay me.
Yeah, ideally.
Yeah, ideally pay me for the pleasure, but you know, I'll make your life better too, I promise.
Yeah, that's really great. And how long have you had your own business now?
So since 2016. So when was that? Like January. And the only reason I remember this is because it's the same year that we got married. So they coincide. I'm like, oh, business anniversary, wedding anniversary, done.
Perfect.
All the milestones.
It's a good reminder.
My children's birthdays because I can't remember them.
When we talked a little bit before the podcast, one of the things that stood out to me was that you're all about holistic marketing. So it's not just about having one channel and putting all of your eggs into that one basket, like what I usually find the Instagram basket or the Facebook basket, but seeing digital marketing as a holistic approach. What does that mean to you and why do you think that's important for a business nowadays?
I think probably a little bit more of a backstory that came around with that is because, so when I started my career, I started as a graphic designer. So I did like an apprenticeship in graphic communication. So traditional marketing was, I worked in a newspaper, so print ads, and I understood, I learned a lot then about the role of like traditional marketing. And so I've always kind of had that in the background. And as like, the world has evolved, technology has evolved, the marketing space has evolved, I've evolved along with it. And so I've kind of got all of that, but I've got the other traditional marketing stuff in my back pocket as well. And so just seeing people, well, businesses that are out there that kind of neglect part of it. And I like to think that I can bring kind of a holistic view to it, considering all the pieces of the puzzle and saying, okay, so where are you showing up online? Where are you showing up in, you know, the physical marketing world? And are they saying the same things? Do your audience get the same messages no matter where they're finding you, whether it's online or off. And yeah, I think too often in this day and age, like I think businesses that are starting up focus so much on the digital space that they neglect their physical presence or traditional marketing methods. And then vice versa, those that have been in business for a really long time are still putting ads in the paper and have no idea about paid advertising options on things like social media. And I kind of use that as a an analogy, I guess, when I'm speaking to people about things like social media advertising, because I'm just like, you know how you're scrolling the newspaper? It's the same with your newsfeed. It's just on your phone now. It's the same concept. So you can expect the same or similar results from a newspaper ad that you would have, say, 20 years ago, that you're now experiencing with a Facebook ad, with that brand awareness flicking through. You're not necessarily looking for that product or service at that particular time, but it's a brand awareness. And I find that that helps people understand more the translation of physical and digital and how the world has evolved.
I love that example, because I do find, especially with older people in business that I usually work with, they're like, well, but I'm putting an ad into the newspaper, isn't that enough anymore? Like, sure, that can be one way to do it, but you can also go into the digital world and have similar, if not better and bigger effects, because obviously your newspaper might be distributed to your local area, or if you're in a national newspaper, to all of New Zealand, but you don't have any limits as to how many people you can reach with the digital world.
And I think in our area, in our region, we're quite, I guess, not landlocked, but we're small. And the local newspaper has always been the people that it was the only medium that people could use to advertise. And I guess they had a bit of a monopoly in that sense. And some of the prices that they charge to advertise in these publications are very expensive in comparison to digital advertising, because when I show people the results that they can achieve, or the reach that they can have with this frequency and all that, in comparison to the circulation of a newspaper, they're literally floored, because they're like $100 a week, and all of those people can see it. I'm like, the opportunities are there.
Yeah, I have a friend who works in like at a newspaper / media agency, and they obviously sell newspaper spaces or ad spaces to people. And I'm always interested in finding out how much that costs and everything. And I also compared it to like a Facebook ad that you would put out, and I was like, wow, that's a lot of money that you put into an ad where you don't get any metrics whatsoever in return, because obviously they can tell you, well, we sent out this newspaper, or we printed it 1,000 times. Okay, great. But you still don't know how many people actually got the newspaper, how many people actually had a look at the ad, and especially also what they did afterwards. Did they go and check out your website? Did they give you a call? What happened? You don't really know that. So that's always how I try to explain why digital marketing can be so much more effective if you compare it to these more traditional types of marketing, or like handing out flyers. I got a flyer for a local, I think, beautician or something the other day into my mailbox. And I was like, why didn't you just like put up an ad, Because on the flyer, it was like, oh, find me on Instagram. And I was like, you could have taken a different approach and like put up an Instagram ad or a Facebook ad. So yeah, that's still interesting to see that some businesses are kind of stuck in their ways a little bit and still put a lot of effort. True. I mean, I'm part of a book club, and there is one lady in our book club that is retired, so I would say 65 plus, I'm not exactly sure. And even she is on Facebook and she's on not on Instagram, but on Facebook, and she sees ads and she talks about, I've seen that come around on my Facebook. So I was like, you know, most people nowadays have at least Facebook or one social media platform. So yeah, it's a definitely an important part of marketing nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely.
From your experience, you said, and I really like that the messaging that you put out, no matter where, on your website, your social channels, wherever, that they should kind of sing the same song, or they should tell the same story. From your experience, what makes someone's digital marketing presence, their website, their social media pages great? Or when would you say this is a great digital marketing presence for a business?
For me, it's all about the cohesiveness, right? So if you think of like the big brands, McDonald's, Nike, Apple, it doesn't matter where you see their stuff, it all looks the same. All of the messaging is the same. It is consistent. If they have a promotion, they're releasing the latest iPhone. All of their social channels, all of their advertising campaigns that they've got online, their website, everything, all has the same messaging. And what I see with a lot of smaller businesses, they're really like missing a trick, essentially, is, you know, you might come across their Google business profile and it's some outdated information. Maybe it's got their old office location on it, or, you know, they don't have their most up-to-date social media channels on, you know, there to be clicked against. Then you go across onto their Facebook, and generally Facebook or Instagram, they're going to have the most up-to-date information because those are the channels that they can control. Then you go over to their website, and again, that's outdated because they haven't got someone on tap to be updating things as regularly, and they find that social media is the safest place to do that, that real time. But it's a real missed trick, because if someone's finding you on social media or Google Business or wherever it might be, and then they're clicking through to your website, they're seeing an outdated version of yourself, and you'll lose people because you don't have that consistency and you don't have all of your channels singing the same song. Like, we need consistency because that's what people are going to remember. And if they're seeing a particular offer, whether that's on your social media, and then they go across to the website and they can't find that offer, they get confused, they lose trust, and they're not going to buy it from you.
I see this really often when I do audits for people, that they're somewhat doing a good job on their socials, but then they are driving traffic to their website, and, you know, you can always increase website traffic, that's for sure. But then people come to their website and they're like, and then they're not buying. And then they come to me and they're like, I don't know why people aren't buying from my socials. I'm like, well, maybe it's not the problem on your social media or what kind of content you're putting out, but more the fact that you haven't updated your website in like 5 years and it's just not appealing. And it, like you say, it doesn't sing the same song as your socials. And that's when you lose people, yeah. Which at the same time also means that you have wasted time putting content onto your socials because people have a bad impression of your business or your website.
Well, I guess, like, unless your social media channel is your conversion tool and you're doing all your conversion there, then fine. But the reality is most people are going to dig a little bit deeper. And what are they going to find about you? Are they going to still trust you enough to want to, like, work with you? And I see so often the conversion is let down by shitty websites because people think that websites are these hard things to maintain or to update because they don't have the skills and the knowledge to do so. And it's just a huge missed opportunity for businesses.
For sure. I mean, I was looking for a restaurant the other day to go to and have a dinner with friends this weekend, and a friend recommended one restaurant that we could go to, and I went to the website and I was like, oh, I would love to go and eat there. And in the end, we booked a table there now because my friend said the food is really good and it's really nice there, but the website wasn't telling me that. So if I hadn't had that recommendation from a friend, I would have never booked a table with them because the website was just outdated and felt clunky and not a great experience.
Well, I think this is the thing too, because so many, majority of businesses, they operate on referrals and incentive, referrals, incentives, and recommendations, word of mouth. And that's great, but it only gets you so far because there's only, you know, so many people saying good things about your business out in the public. How are you generating new business?
And I also find when, and this is something that I see a lot as well when I work with people in coaching or something, they have somehow built their business through word of mouth or through referrals, and then they see, somehow my network is drying up a little bit, or I have these, like, I go through these cycles where I have lots of work and then suddenly I don't have any work anymore. And that's probably because some people refer you, but then it's a little bit silent for a while. And I feel like when you use digital marketing effectively, you can control that in a much better way, and you can be proactive about it and see, well, I know usually this period is a little bit calmer, so I'm going to put more into marketing and make sure that I have like an even workload throughout the year or the week or whenever.
I love that you say that though, because even as a digital marketer, I can't master it. The ebbs and flows. It's always like a matter of, like, I guess sometimes things will be busier, but at least knowing what levers you can pull. And I think that's a lot of businesses out there are just super reactive and they're just waiting for those lulls and then going, oh, I need a market. What can I do? Can I put an ad up? Can I do some more social posts? And I'm like, yeah, but you're not going to see results immediately. Like, this is a long game. You can't just be like dipping in and out. You've got to be consistent.
Exactly. And that's, I see the exact same thing. People get really busy. They stop doing any kind of marketing. They're like, oh, I'm way too busy anyways. I'm not going to do any more marketing because then I'm going to get more clients and I'm going to be overwhelmed. And then they finish up that work and it's crickets. They don't have any clients anymore. And then they're like, okay, now we need to do some marketing again. I'm like, you should have done that before, because then you could have avoided that little dry spot,
the lull.
they're not having any clients, but yeah, I guess nobody is perfect. Hopefully someone listening to this podcast can see their mistake and come and work with either you or me or whoever they need to get their marketing on point.
Well, this is the thing though, and I don't ever claim to tell people that, you know, I do it all right all the time. Like, I know best practice, but we're all human. So, and you know, sometimes things need to be sacrificed when we are busy. But for me, just knowing that I've got like all my social media channels active, I've got my website up to date and my Google Business profile regularly getting reviews, I'm like, okay, I've ticked those boxes. I know I'm consistent.
I always like to think of my social media pages as, since I don't have a physical location where people can come and see me, my social media pages are kind of the doors to my business. If I'm not posting on there, I'm sending a signal, hey, I'm closed, or I'm not actually here. And I find this so often with people, then I go to their social media pages and then nothing is there, or their last post was like half a year ago where they said Merry Christmas or something like that. So, you know, you know the kind of page?
I know the page. And do you know what? I work with so many clients like that. So because the core part of my business is websites, and I focus everything around that, but I can't neglect all the other bits, right? And so that's why I have added on these other services for people exactly like that, that have engaged me to build a website. And then I'm like, yeah, but you haven't posted on your Facebook page since 2021. Like, what if someone finds you? They're going to think you're closed. And they're like, oh, no, they'll go to the website. I'm like, no, they won't. So as an add-on service to my clients that I have website, that I build websites for, I'm like, let me just have access to and manage your social media so that I can put some regular posts up there. They don't have to be anything like out of this world, revolutionary, or, you know, super original content. Just letting people know you're still there, you're still working, you're still busy, and you're still available.
Yeah, especially when you also have a Google My Business account that hasn't been updated in like 2 years, then the pages do sing the same song. But it's not a really great one. It's one that tells people, I am a business owner, but am I actually still here? And I feel like with us, especially here in town, there are so many stores or restaurants that change owners or that are closed for a while. And then you're like, is it actually still there? Have they changed? Is this a new place now? And then you go to their Google Business account and it seems like they're still there. You might go around and you're like, oh, this is something completely different now. So yeah, it's an important part.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people do focus those kind of like store closure, open, you know, we're doing renovations. They rely quite heavily on social media for that. And yeah, if someone is going directly to your website or your Google Business profile and they're not seeing your clothes and they're turning up and your doors are actually shut, what's that doing for your brand?
Not a great experience.
No.
Not something you would want your customers to associate with your brand, I would say. Well, since this is, I would say, mainly a social media podcast, how can we make sure that what we put up on our socials, like in terms of messaging, matches up what we put on our website? Is there a certain balance that we have to find so that it's not the exact same copy? Or, you know, like, how do we find that balance between the two?
Well, I think it's all in the name, right? It's social media. So, you know, I feel like regardless of your brand, there is an element to your social media that allows you to be social. It allows you to be slightly more casual. You're talking to a friend. You know, so your website could be this corporate professional business persona, but then over on Facebook or Instagram, you can still say like, hey guys, we're closed this weekend. Enjoy the weekend, enjoy your holiday, your bank holiday, whatever it might be. So in my mind, that's where the balance lies. Social is social and your website is kind of your brand overview. It's all the things. It's the old-fashioned brand brochure that you flip through that has all the detail about how to work with your business and all the rest of it, whereas your social media is kind of like, it's like windows, little windows to your business.
I like that. Especially when I think of service-based businesses, people like us that are either by themselves in their business or have a small team around them, your professional website might tell people, I offer this, this, and this service, you know, this is who is part of the team and here's how you can contact us. But then your socials, they, I don't know, show a bit more personality. They give people a reason why they should be working with you and kind of, for service, I think this is really important to show them what they can expect from the service, because obviously you can say, I'm going to make a website for you, but you know what, how does that service feel? What's the process? What do I need to deliver? What do you need to deliver? These kind of things. I think that's really great to show those things on your socials then, which is something that you wouldn't show on your website necessarily.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, on social media, we've all seen it. It's like, oh, what's it like to come and work with me? Here's a little behind the scenes. This is what to expect. Whereas you go to someone's website, you're not going to find that. You're not going to find a video recording of them talking to the camera saying, this is what you can expect to come work with me. That just seems like a massive disconnect. But essentially, like, the core messaging is always the same. How your brand is being perceived, the colors that you're using, that's the type of consistency we're looking for. And from an SEO point of view, Google, we're going to call it Google, but the reality is it's like every search engine out there, except for DuckDuckGo. You know, the internet's painting a picture of you. And it's like a web. Well, it is a web. But you've got your social media, you've got your website, you've got your Google Business profile. And Google is making those connections. And if you're saying the same things across all of them with your keywords and your unique selling point, Google recognizes that, includes it in its algorithm, and then you've got like a better chance of ranking higher for the search terms that you want, because it's going, okay, yeah, you are an authority in the space. You're an expert. You are posting all over your social media about social media management and how to use it. And your website says the same thing, and your Google Business says the same thing. So Hannah must know a bit about social media. So we're going to let her rank higher for that term. So I think, yeah, the impact that your social media has on your website's organic ranking as well is super powerful.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I never thought of it that way, but it does make sense, because it's a bit the same on social media. When you post about a million different things. Mm. You're confusing the algorithm, and the algorithm is like, what does this person do? Like, do they talk about books, or do they talk about travel, or do they, you know, are they a social media strategist, or do they do website? And it's confused. And when people look you up on social media, when they type in website designer, you're not going to show up because Instagram doesn't get what you're doing. So I think that's important to have your core messaging on your socials, but then also on your website to kind of magnify the organic reach that you can get.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, yeah, a lot of what I do is kind of trying to make sure or steer people in the right direction so that they're kind of not leaving money on the table and just not leaving their customers hanging. So
yeah, that's a good point. I also like to think of it, I love the term leave money on the table, because sometimes clients come to me and they say, you know, actually I'm already really busy and I don't need any more new clients. But at the same time, you might be able to get better clients or better paying clients that aren't such a pain, or, you know, that are more your ideal client compared to the clients that you're attracting now and that you're every day like, oh, these clients, they're kind of annoying. Yes, they're giving me work, but at the same time, I would love to work with maybe someone else or someone that is more aligned with their business. So I think the leaving money on the table thing is always a good point to mention.
Well, and I think too, because they can say that they're busy and that, you know, they don't have any capacity or whatever, but that will always be the case unless you change something, unless you do something differently. You're only going to get the same results if you're doing the same thing. So if you want to see something different, you've got to change it up.
Yeah, I always like to say, if nothing changes, nothing changes.
Mm-hmm.
Very deep, wise quote that I like to use with my clients to help them understand that things do need to change. And I think one of the things you mentioned as well when we talked another time was that sometimes clients don't understand how their customers use the internet and how can we understand our customers better and how can we get into their head to see how they use the internet so that we can be where they might look us up. How would one go about doing that?
Honestly, it's different. Like, the whole psychology and of marketing and understanding your target audience and your ideal client. Like, a lot of these, like, we throw these terms around, but I find with my clients, sitting down and actually just listening to them, like, think, so who's your best customer? Who's your best customer? What do they do? Where do they hang out? You know, for example, if they are, I don't know, I'm trying to think of like a easy example. Okay, so say a builder. I'll do that because my husband's a builder, so it's easy. It comes naturally to me. But, you know, where's he hanging out on the internet? And he's always on Marketplace. He's on Marketplace, he's on TradeMe. He's not using social media the same way that probably you or I use social media. So, okay, if that's the case, yes, you can run targeted ads that only show up on Marketplace. Why wouldn't you do that if that's the person you want to get in front of? If someone's out there and, you know, they're a 60-year-old woman and she really likes crocheting, where is she hanging out on the internet? Maybe she doesn't have Instagram, but I bet my bottom dollar she's hanging out on Pinterest. And she's getting ideas. So it's, if you're a crochet business, are you on Pinterest? Like, in getting into that kind of analogy of like who their customers are, what they're doing, and then thinking about how they might be using the internet. And another one of the core ones that I notice a lot of my clients miss is I say to them, you know, does your website show up when you Google it? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, that's because you're typing in your business name.
Yeah.
And I'm like, people that don't know about your business aren't typing your name. What are they typing? And they're like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, okay, well, put yourself in their shoes. If you needed a plumber, what are you typing into Google? And kind of like flipping the script on it a bit like that so that they can begin to understand the impact that SEO has on their business and how people are finding them online, whether that is on social media or for their website or Google Places or Bing.
Yeah, I hear that all the time as well. People are like, oh yeah, I don't like actually know where my people are hanging out or what they are looking for. And I usually just take the approach of saying, well, just ask them, you know, like ask your best customers, how did they find you? And what I love to do is either on your contact form on your website, say, where have you heard from us? That gives you already an indication. Sometimes it might not be accurate because they might have seen a Facebook ad and then they heard you on the radio and then that's when they went and looked you up. But still, it gives you at least an initial idea of where your customers have come from and in which channels you need to invest more in or less in, because you see, nobody ever finds me on Google. You might be like, maybe I should invest in some Google support or SEO on my website so that people can find me. So I find that really, really useful to just ask people. You know, it's not weird. My partner is a physio, and he, when people book an appointment with him and he has no idea where they came from, he just asks them when they come to the appointment. He's like, how did you hear about me? And then they might say, I've been referred by a friend or I found you on Google. That's really useful to know.
Yeah. I think keeping track of those metrics too, of where people are finding you, so that you can see if there's any changes and see if the impact of your marketing is, changing the way people find you, and then you can move into other spaces. Because it's always changing, right? And the way people use the internet is always changing. And it's kind of like, if nothing changes, nothing changes. So you can't just keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. Just because something worked this week doesn't mean it's going to work next week.
I think that's a really important point that you mentioned, that you have to keep track of the metrics and not just put up a Facebook ad once, have a look at the result and be like, okay, worked or didn't work. But, you know, it's something that you have to be consistent with once again. And look at it over the longer term as well, not just a short-term snapshot of what has happened either on your website or on your socials, because otherwise you miss out on a lot of data that can help you to make better marketing decisions in the future.
Absolutely. And I feel like there's so many people out there that will say, oh, no, I don't do social media. I tried it. It didn't work. I'm like, but what did you try? Or they'll say, oh, no, not paid digital advertising, because I hit that boost post button and nothing happens. And I'm like, what do you mean nothing happened? Something would have happened. Did you analyze the data that came out of it to identify what didn't work? I'm like, that would be a better answer to that question.
The amount of times people start coaching with me and I said, well, what kind of data have you seen on your insights lately? And they're like, oh, I have never opened my insights on Instagram. And I was like, excuse me, what? It's like, oh yeah, I'm posting, but I don't even know. I'm like, okay, let me just quickly recover from this. But like, they're like, oh, I don't even know where I would find that. I'm like,
this is the conversation that I have with so many of my clients. I say, well, you know, what are people doing on your website? And they're like, I don't know. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know? And they're like, well, how would I know? I'm like, analytics.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like to us marketers, the analytics, they're like the holy grail. We're like, oh, we can finally see what people are doing and what action they are taking, which we couldn't in traditional types of marketing. Some business owners still seem to be stuck in that kind of like, I wouldn't be able to see anything, you know, like with a newspaper, I won't know how many people read my ad. So why would I be able to do that with social media? So yeah, that's funny, but also a bit sad at the same time.
Yeah. It's okay, because I kind of feel like our generation being the one that's like, this is second nature to people of our age, because we've all kind of like grown up using the internet. And I like to think that, you know, and 40 years time, the conversations will be completely different again, but at least they'll have that understanding of the data, because data is everything now.
Yeah, I think it's so important. And I personally love to analyze stuff. That is like the biggest joy when I work with clients. I'm like, let's have a look at the insights. And they're like, oh no, it's like, it's boring. It's like, what is it going to tell me? It's like, you know, you can see so many things in there. So that's kind of my nerdy side coming out there. That's why people work with you and me, right? Because we can do those things for them, the things that they don't really find joy in or aren't really good
at. Absolutely. we all have a part to play.
For sure. I do have one last question for you. That is a bit of a surprise question that I always... Oh my God. Shocked. Connection gone. Adria left the chat.
No, it was actually really funny because as soon as you said that, someone knocked on my door and I'm like, oh, what? Does that mean I can leave now? I don't like surprises. How convenient.
Oh, I need to leave. Sorry. It's a very easy question. It's just a question that I really like to ask other creative people in the industry. How do you fill up your creative cup? What are the things that you do to stay creative and not burn yourself out, or things that inspire you to be creative?
Well, that's such a tricky question, do you know? Because I started out my career as a graphic designer, I use all of the graphic design tools. And every now and again, it depends on my mood, but every now and again, I'll be like, someone will ask me to make a logo and I'll be like, okay, yeah, I'll do that. It is not what I do. It's not my jam, but I like to kind of tinker with it. And probably filling up my creative cup, I would say scrolling TikTok and looking at Illustrator tricks and hacks, and then going and playing and seeing if I can recreate things. That's always fun.
Yeah, I think that's really nice when, like you say, that's not something that you do as a job or maybe occasionally, but that brings you a lot of joy, or that's the fact that you don't have any pressure, any client pressure to, you know, get something done or have the logo ready in I don't know how much time. It can be nice to have a creative outlet that is, there is no pressure attached to it, and you can just try out things and have fun.
Do you know what made my heart really happy the other day? So my daughter is turning six next week, somewhere there. Next week is her party anyway. And she had said to me, we decided she was having a pool party at the local pools. And so I was just like, I'm going to make her an invitation. I just went on Canva, but I got a template pool party invitation, cute as hell. I brought it home and she was floored. She's like, Mum, where did you get this from? It says my name. And I'm like, I made it, honey. And she was just like, oh. And she was like, because I'm like, what do you think Mum does all day? And she's just like, computer stuff?
Well, she's not wrong.
She's not wrong, but that made my heart happy. I was like, oh, finally, my work life is paying off in my home life.
I love that. I hope the party is going to be great, and the other people will appreciate your effort in the invitations as well.
Like I said, it was a Canva template, but she loved it. Well,
people don't need to know that.
No.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This was really nice. I always love to get to know people and chat a bit and see what other marketers think about the topics that are close to my heart. So thank you so much for coming.
No, thank you so much for having me.